Welcome to another episode of Podwarp 1999. This is episode 36. This time, we promise nothing. With us this evening is Tom Truskowski of Station V3.
Hello.
At stationv3.com, correct?
That is correct.
Yay.
Hey.
And I am Mark Meckes of all kinds of stuff that you can find at entireprizeenterprises.com. Hello.
Hello.
So tonight's episode is This Time We Promise Nothing, which seems especially appropriate since this is the our second attempt at recording this episode.
Third, if you count our previous attempt tonight when my microphone wasn't working.
Good point.
Last time it was the recording software, today it was the microphone.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, we'll get this Podwarp stuff figured out soon enough.
You know, it's the future. And,
right.
You know, the future means technology, and that means...
Even in the future, nothing works.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, Star Trek, the transporter.
Yes.
So the same principle, you know. The transporter and Skype, you know, they're similar...
That's right.
Similar mechanics there, I'm sure.
Beam up today with Skype.
So.
Yeah. More signal. We need more signal.
Give me all I got. Well, last time we recorded, we was actually right after the passing of Ray Bradbury.
Yes.
And so... still seems appropriate to give a little salute to that sci-fi veteran.
Definitely.
I remember reading
an interesting thing that, I guess with a few exceptions like Fahrenheit 451, he didn't consider himself a science fiction writer because, how do you put it, because most of the stuff he's writing about couldn't actually happen.
Huh.
So I guess he considered it more fantasy than science fiction.
I can see that. You know, his stuff seemed... He didn't seem like a very, space opera-y science fiction author like, Asimov had the robots
right.
and stuff. And, you know, his stuff was a little bit more down to earth.
Yep.
Definitely one of the greats of the genre.
Definitely. And got to mention the prune commercial.
Oh, of course.
Brave new prune.
Can't forget the prune.
That's right. But wait a minute. What is this? He never wrote about prunes. What are these people trying to pull?
Yeah, you know, marketing.
Yep.
So, last time, we had a really great discussion. You really have to believe us, folks. It was really good. That kind of originated from... I was listening to something about the original, some of the original casting for Star Wars, things like Kurt Russell as Han Solo and Cindy Williams as Princess Leia and some of those things, and you know, it kind of got me to thinking about, we're seeing a lot of reboots lately, and a lot of reimagining of things, and just trying to think of some other examples of reboot ideas for classic science fiction movies and TV shows, and Star Trek already did this,
right?
But what other science fiction properties out there might be interesting to go back to, and for either good ideas or bad ideas, what kind of stuff.
Right,
might be out there, and who would be good casting choices for these reboots?
I remember reading some discussion that people were talking about The Star Lost, and a lot of the discussion said, the concept was good.
Oh yeah.
The execution, they didn't think really lived up to the concept. Now I enjoy it, but I'm not going to say it's the best science fiction show ever. And not real high production values on it. Although, I'm not going to complain too much about Keira DeLay as the lead. I thought he was pretty good.
Yeah? Yeah.
But, you know, famously, you know, having Harlan Ellison disown the thing, I think, before the first episode aired.
Well, that's just Harlan, isn't it?
That's true. Yeah, I don't know if he's ever happy with how any of his scripts get produced.
No. Yeah. No, pretty much. That's kind of a testimony to something as, you know, Harlan Ellison has distanced himself from it.
Yep. But I know the some of the other people working on the show, I think the script editor called him up and said basically that he wasn't a science fiction writer, but who was it? Norman Klenman, I think, you know, told him that. You know, came right out and said, you know, not a science fiction writer, but he did wind up writing, I think, 4 episodes of the show. You know, the episode with the bees, the episode where they get shrunk down and put in a computer, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's one of those things, though, like people said, you know, try it again. I don't know who they'd cast in it, but, you know, give it an actual budget.
True.
You know, it's... They did have all sorts of high hopes for it at the time, I know. You know, all sorts of new technology they were going to be using where they'd be shooting like a miniature set with one camera and shooting the actors with a synchronized camera, you know, inserting the actors into the scene, that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, they basically ended up with, you know, the same green screen thing they were using on the weather forecasts.
Right, right. So. They did some about the Land of the Lost, too, didn't they? A lot of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Certainly Doctor Who used a lot of the blue screen, yellow screen. I don't know if they ever used a green one, but, you know. But, you know, if you used you know, some of the latest and greatest or, you know, even just, you know, adequate, the story was good.
Oh, yeah.
There's certainly a lot of potential there. You've got all sorts of sealed-off communities, a different one for every week.
That's right.
And, you know, you've got the potential end of the show with, yeah, they can't fix it and they crash into the sun and everyone dies.
There's always that.
There's always that option.
Yes, yes.
So, then, of course, if you want to go with other 70s science fiction, how about Zardoz the TV show? There's an idea.
Yes, yes, of course. That's right.
Yeah.
You know, actually, it's funny you mentioned that. I just read something that somebody is looking at developing a Barbarella TV series.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, speaking of reboots and,
yes,
and that sort of thing, that's definitely one of the more interesting.
I say if they do it, they should get Duran Duran in to do the theme music.
You know, it only seems appropriate.
It would only be right.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I think...
Actually, I read somewhere, and I haven't seen it, but I read that Duran Duran did a video with the guy who played Duran Duran in the movie.
Really?
And he wants to know who are these guys using his name. I'd have to look that up. I don't know anything about it, but I just read that they did that at some point.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
So they can use that as the pilot.
They got
First episode done already.
Yes. Yes, perfect. Done. Yeah.
And what were you talking about last? You've got to believe us, folks. The last episode we recorded was fantastic. Also,
we were bouncing. You know, what were some of the things? I think we were talking about, like, Steve Carell and Close Encounters.
Right.
Well, we talked about Zardoz. And,
right. We were saying, you know, the casting for that, you know, since they had Sean Connery in the first one, it's obvious that they should have Daniel Craig in the new one.
Sure. Sure, that's, you know.
He's got to grow a mustache and the long hair and wear a diaper and, you know.
He can do that.
And he's set.
And you know, I'm sure a lot of people would watch that.
Yeah.
But,
whether or not that's a good thing, well, you know, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, that's true. But, yeah, you know, it's funny to see some of the things that have kind of done that reboot. You know, they had the Lost in Space movie, and of course,
right there, there was a. I never saw the Lost in Space movie.
It was interesting. I wouldn't say it's good, but it was fun.
Yeah.
One of the things I found really interesting about the Lost in Space movie is years ago I saw I'm blanking on the kid's name. I want to say Will Wheaton, and that's not it. But who's the Lost in Space kid?
Is it Bill Mumy?
Bill Mumy. Yes,
yeah.
I saw Bill Mumy at a convention. And he was talking about how he had put together a script for a new Lost in Space movie.
Huh.
And it was interesting. He said, and somebody had asked him if he was going to still play Will Robinson. He said, no, it'd be a new kid. But there is something in the story that would give him an opportunity to be in the movie.
Hmm.
And I thought, oh, okay, that's interesting. Now, spoiler alert for those of you that haven't seen it, but there, in the actual movie that was made, there is a scene where they meet a adult version of Will Robinson.
Hmm.
That is not played by Bill Mumy.
Okay.
Just about everybody else from the series that was still alive had cameos in that movie.
Ah.
Except for Bill Mumy.
Well, doesn't that figure?
Yeah. So I always kind of wondered if they had kind of taken his script and, you know, something happened that he wasn't in it. But it just seemed odd to me that wasn't him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's, you know, it was fun.
Yeah.
But
I remember reading, I guess, along similar idea there with Battlestar Galactica, where before they redid that, Richard Hatch, I think, was trying to get it going again.
Yes, I think you're right. I've heard that too.
Now, and of course, he did appear in the reboot.
Right.
But of course, not as Apollo.
No. That was definitely an interesting recasting. I mean, going so far as, you know, even the female Starbuck.
Right.
You know, that was kind of a total start from scratch.
Right. Which I guess Dirk Benedict didn't care much for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I can kind of understand that, but
yeah.
But yeah, you know, that's kind of probably an example of one of the more successful reboots.
Right.
You know.
It lasted longer than the original.
True, very true. And, you know,
even if you do include Galactica 1980.
I was going to say, they didn't try rebooting that.
Yeah. But, you know, as we said in the episode that got lost, even if you don't like the reboot, the original still exists.
Absolutely. Absolutely right. You know, you're just kind of giving it one more opportunity.
Right.
You
it
know.
Gets more attention, even if people look at it and say, wow, that's awful, and, you know, good thing they redid it because, you know, yeah, this worked, that worked, the other thing worked, but nothing else did.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, you watch it and say, well, this is obviously not the same thing, but, you know, maybe just as enjoyable. Maybe someone finds it and decides it's more enjoyable.
Sure.
I was in a video store. One guy who was really into the new show was actually looking for Galactica 1980 on DVD.
Well, okay.
Yep. You know. I don't know. I don't think the store had it, but it was available. So I don't know if he ordered it and what he thought of it if he saw it. I would have told him, you know, skip to the last episode that has Starbuck in it. That's not that bad.
Yeah.
With some of the rest of it, you know, Cousin Oliver as Dr. Z.
Very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess the real tragedy is, you know, you lose out on having Moffat the Daggett in the reboot.
Yeah, that just wasn't the same.
That's right.
I think Boxy did like a little run through one scene. Somebody yelled, "Hey, Boxy!" You know, and that was the extent of the kid. But
it's like, okay, we got that over with.
yeah.
Onward.
Yeah. Exactly. Good choice.
Yep. But it does seem like mixed results when you go back and find something to redo.
Yeah. Day the Earth Stood Still is another one that kind of,
Yeah.
That and War of the Worlds.
Well, there were two versions of that coming out at the same time, weren't there?
War of the Worlds. I think you're right.
And
the Tom Cruise one, of course.
There was the Tom Cruise one, but there was another one, which I think was a lower budget one, but may have been closer to the book. I could be completely off on that, but that's what I remember reading about it at the time.
Yeah, it sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, well, we're on computers here, so I guess we could actually check that.
That's good.
Or is that cheating?
Well, I think there were...
Oh, even better, there were three versions.
Oh, well, excellent.
War of the Worlds, 2005 American science fiction disaster film, loose adaptation of H.G. Wells' novel the same name, et cetera, et cetera. One of three adaptations released that year, alongside The Asylum's version and Pendragon Pictures' version.
Hmm. Interesting.
Which apparently were both called H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds.
Ah, okay.
Oh, wait. No, one of them was called H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds, and it says not to be confused with H.G. Wells' The War of the Worlds.
How could anybody confuse those?
That's right. Anyway, I don't think I saw any of them. I saw, well, that's not true. I saw some of the Tom Cruise one.
Yeah, I saw that one.
I caught a bit of it on TV and didn't really get pulled into it.
No, I understand that. But, I think that, I was trying to remember that. I thought there were more than, of course, there was the George Pal.
Right.
One in the 50s, was that? But I thought there was another one.
Well, there was a TV show.
There was a TV show of War of the Worlds?
Yes.
Nice.
Which is probably nothing. I'll have to look that one up, see if it's anything to do with it. Yeah, 1953 for George Pal.
Okay. Okay. Of course, the radio show, that might be what I was thinking of. But,
right.
Hmm.
War of the Worlds TV program. Yes, 1988 to 1990, an extension of the 1953 version, using the same war machine.
Huh.
So, filmed in Canada, reruns on the Sci-Fi Channel. I've heard of it, but I don't think I've ever seen it.
Well, there's something that needs to reboot.
There's something to check out, yeah. It's interesting, though, how often some concepts get done over and over and over again.
True.
Different take on them. And,
oh, yeah.
And like I said, with radio, you go back to the first sci-fi show on radio, if I remember correctly, Buck Rogers.
Oh, yeah.
And how many versions of Buck Rogers have we had since? Yeah, there's been the movie serial, mm-hmm. Buck Rogers in the 25th century.
Yep.
You know,
Bill Gerard.
That's right.
I keep hearing rumors about them trying to redo that, too.
Of course. I mean, but why not? In that case, I mean, they've done it so many times, why not do another one?
Well, it's kind of, some characters are just so iconic. You know,
right.
Tarzans. How many Tarzans
have
there been? Supermans, Batman's.
Right.
Some of these characters are just so iconic that they can stand up to that.
Right. So why not do it again?
Sure.
You've done it so many times, why stop now?
Yeah, exactly.
And then you can have everyone argue which one is the real one. which one really counts? Is it Gil Gerard? Is it the original radio one? Is it the 1950 TV show?
Yeah, but, Well, it seems like those don't come out, with as much frequency. Like say, the James Bonds. Those are all
right.
Kind of right. You got, you know, you're going to have Roger Moore being compared to Sean Connery and,
right,
and Timothy Dalton.
And George Lazenby and
yeah,
Pierce Brosnan, yeah.
So, you know, they seem a little bit more concise than, you know, trying to compare Gil Gerard to, you know,
whoever
serials from the
exactly.
30s or 40s, you know.
Right, right.
Buster Keaton, actually. Not Buster Keaton, Buster Crabbe.
Was he in Buck Lodge or was he in Flash Gordon or both?
He was both.
Both. Sorry, didn't he show? He showed up on the TV show.
Buck Rogers, yes, he did.
He did.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I remember that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it always struck me as odd that he was both Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon.
Right.
But yeah, that's, you know.
Yeah.
It's it's kind of like, I guess it's kind of, some of these characters are kind of like the movie star's version of Hamlet, you know. Every stage actor wants to play Hamlet, you know.
Right. Then you've got other ones where you wonder why there haven't been a whole bunch of movies, like Doc Savage.
Yes, yes.
There's, mm-hmm. you know, the constant rumors about, you know, they're going to do another Doc Savage movie.
Yeah.
But I wonder if Doc Savage, the Man of Bronze, you know, it's like, even though that was, how many years, like 35, 36, 37 years ago now.
Yeah.
I think it still kind of killed it off stone dead.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad.
Yeah.
But even like, you know, John Carter was just out.
Right.
Like, you know, that took, you know, what, 100 years before that was made into anything?
Right.
You know, there's never really been any kind of movie adaptation of that.
Right.
You know.
But you wonder if the way it went over, it's going to be like the latest Doc Savage.
Possibly.
And, I mean, unfortunate, but, you know, in terms of its reception.
True, true. And, well, you know, if the Tracy Lords version didn't kill it,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So there's a tangent we could go off on. Yeah. Ones that should be killed off.
Yeah. That's true.
We should have that one as an audience participation.
We should.
Instead of sharing our opinion so everyone will send us hate mail, you can just give us your ideas or post it on the forum.
Yes. Yes. And give us your casting ideas. Good ideas, bad ideas, you know.
Yeah.
Should Justin Bieber do a reboot of Star Wars as Luke Skywalker?
All right.
Let us know. What do you think?
Good idea, bad idea?
I think I know what my vote would be.
Yeah.
But
no, obviously they should cast him in Doc Savage.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
And they can use a Sousa march as the theme music again, but have him sing lyrics for it.
I like it.
Killed like off it. For another 40 years. Yeah. And we need a tangent to get back to our original topic, I think.
Right, right. Well, I think if I remember right, last time we kind of tangented into talking about rebooting your old comics and
right.
And, you know, kind of relooking at the old stuff and
You know, we really should have recorded it last time.
You know, that would have now we think of that. You know.
I know.
But oh well.
Yeah.
But anyway, you know, I've been reposting my old Zortik strips and
right.
It's been really kind of interesting kind of reliving that and kind of going back and I think we kind of discussed the idea of going back and rereading your old stuff.
Right.
And, you know, good idea, bad idea.
Well,
pros and cons.
Right. What's interesting, and I don't know, you might find this too, you know, Zordik's been around even longer than Station V3, is when you go back to a strip and you don't have a clear memory of writing it.
Yes. Yes.
And it's interesting because, you know, sometimes it seems, yeah, this is the sort of thing I would have written. And then other times you find a strip, where did this come from?
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's always a weird feeling. And it's usually either really good. Either you really surprise yourself pleasantly or badly, you know?
Yeah, so where did I think this was going?
Yeah. But, I love the ones where I just like, you know, wow, that was really good. Where'd that come from?
Exactly. It's kind of fun because, you know, it's a sort of strip you're going to like, hopefully.
Yeah, in theory.
And, you know, it's like, geez, it could have been written just for you.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been going through early Station V3 recently with a recent plot where the Time Eel tried rebooting the timeline, and the action was basically paralleling some of the early weeks of the strip, but with some definite changes to it. And, it's kind of gone off that again. But it was interesting just going back to the first couple weeks and seeing almost like the... sort of like a different premise of the strip, in a way. There was almost no action on the planet. It was entirely on the station with a smaller cast.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's one of the weird things about doing any kind of, you know, reboot is that trying to come up with that balance of how different do you make it?
Right.
But, yeah.
Do you keep the name and throw everything else out? Or
sure.
Do you do a version that's so close that people say you shouldn't have bothered?
Exactly, yeah. Yes. But, we talked about Battlestar Galactica. That was kind of one where they made it different enough that it was really worth it.
Right. Basically, just keeping, there's a Battlestar, and it's named Galactica. It has some people with some of the same names, and there are Cylons who are trying to kill them.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, we talked about Lost in Space, and... Yeah, that was kind of one that I'm not sure. I think part of the problem with it wasn't different enough. You know, it was different actors, different designs, everything looked different, better effects. But it wasn't, you know, they didn't really go out on a limb to make it something really fresh.
Right. I mean, if they really wanted to shake things up, you know, the first thing you do is throw Dr. Smith out the nearest airlock.
I don't know. In that case, it was
or maybe you keep Dr. Smith and throw everyone else.
Yeah, I think that would work better.
Yeah.
Gary Oldman was Dr. Smith in the movie.
Then you keep him and toss everyone else out. Wasn't Matt LeBlanc in the movie?
I was going to say Matt LeBlanc.
Yeah, you can make a statement right there and then. Yep, this is how this version's going to go.
Yeah, that's timely. That's topical.
Yep. You could show him in an escape pod and landing in New York and going into a coffee shop and... All right, never mind.
Ooh, well, yeah. And there's apes. The whole world has been taken over by apes.
Ah.
Brilliant.
Hmm.
Well.
Another tangent. Crossovers that shouldn't happen.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
But, yeah, actually, it's funny you mentioned that. I just started posting comics from the WCA hunt, which is a big, massive crossover event that I took part in several years ago. And, you know, it's really reminded me how odd crossovers are. It's just kind of a weird concept, you know?
They can be.
They can be.
Especially if they feel forced.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Of course. I don't know one that I've seen that really...
I like the Zordic-Melonpool crossover.
I think those worked well because, you know, Steve and I have such a similar sensibilities.
That didn't feel forced.
Yeah, it was, you know.
That just seemed like, why not?
Exactly, you know, we were thinking along the same lines so much already, it was just pretty straightforward. But in terms of, like,
one crossover a TV one that didn't happen, but I think would have been interesting, was on the end of the second season of Blake 7, with the aliens who were coming to attack the Federation.
Okay, yeah.
With Terry Nation obviously having worked on Doctor Who earlier, his idea was it was going to be the Daleks.
Oh.
So that would have been a big crossover right there.
That's true. That could have been interesting.
And I think that would have been interesting, but of course that didn't happen.
Yeah.
Blake 7 Doctor Who crossover did happen, I think it was later semi-official books or audio stories.
Yeah, but again, there's a. I can see those being in the same universe.
Right.
Like the Star Trek crossovers, the Tribbles episode of Deep Space Nine, those are in the same universe. Of course they're going to click, Scotty on with Picard.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
Or in Enterprise when the Mirror Universe found the Defiant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was, it's a great couple of episodes.
Yeah.
But, those are in the same universe.
Exactly, of course. Star Trek is pretty similar to Star Trek, so,
Yeah, exactly.
If it doesn't work, you've got a problem.
Yes. Now, I know, I think it was the episode with Ben that we were talking about the Star Trek Doctor Who comic crossover.
Right.
And I haven't read that. Have you?
Yes, I did read that.
How's that shaping up?
Well, it's the first book was basically just some setup.
Okay.
So there wasn't a whole lot. I mean, the only crossover, and this probably isn't giving up too much in way of spoilers, is on the Star Trek side, the Borg show up, and they've got the Cybermen with them.
Well, that seems kind of obvious. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Doctor doesn't actually arrive in the Star Trek action until basically the last page of the book.
That makes sense. Yeah, I can see that.
So, at this point, I'm going to have to pick up the second book and see where it goes.
Okay.
But, I liked it enough to pick up the second book.
That's a good start.
So it's promising. It didn't run it through the shredder or anything like that. Didn't go ask for my money back. Or run it through the shredder, then ask for my money back.
Good point.
Yeah. It doesn't usually work so well.
No, not quite the same.
But, that one, it's, I don't know, because the universes are different, but Doctor Who goes through so much different stuff that why can't some of it click with Star Trek?
Sure, that's true.
When you look at all the different stuff the show's had going on since 1963, some of it's going to be close enough.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. There were the occasional references to warp drive and things like that in Doctor Who.
Well, sure.
So
sure. Yeah, Doctor Who's pretty universal.
Pretty flexible.
And for that matter, Star Trek is too, just to a lot of degree.
Yeah.
But, I think that one of the dangers was something like that, two such iconic properties, getting the balance right.
Right.
Just in a Star Trek movie, you have the actors kind of clamoring for equal screen time. You add a whole other franchise to that. And I know in a comic you don't have to deal with the actor equation as much, but
right.
Still doing equal justice to such large iconic timelines and stories is going to be a challenge.
Right. And are they up to it? That's the question.
Exactly.
Another thing you wonder if they're up to is, if it goes well, a sequel.
Oh, of course. Of course.
That wasn't forced at all, was it? No, that flowed.
That's true. That's
okay,
all right.
It's on our list. Last time we talked about sequels and prequels, so we have to do it this time.
We do.
Oh, yeah. The thing that can be just as bad as an unnecessary reboot is an unnecessary sequel.
Yes. Yes. But sequels are really tough, tricky to pull off.
Yep.
Yeah, I just saw Prometheus before we recorded last shot. I know we talked about that a little bit.
Right.
And that was kind of an interesting... It was an interesting approach because it really didn't act like a sequel or a prequel.
Right.
Yeah. It just kind of totally went off in its own direction. And, you know, it had a few elements, but it wasn't trying too hard to get to connect the dots. No?
Right. So was it just kind of like an earlier story in the same universe with some connections?
Yes, it did. You know, it did have some connections, but it was its own thing.
Right. So it's not like a here's where Darth Vader came from sort of thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's
prequels.
Sure. It's hard to talk prequels without that, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. You mentioned the word prequel and.
Yeah, you start hearing, you know, start doing that Star Wars cringe.
Are prequels a good idea? Let's ask Jar Jar Binks and see what he thinks. Yeah.
But yeah, you know, I mean, you was trying to think of, you know, really, what kind of successful prequels are there? Technically speaking, Temple of Doom was a prequel.
Right.
And that
one worked well as the movie worked anyway, because
yeah.
It wasn't really there to explain how anything in Raiders and the Lost Ark happened.
No,
it was
exactly.
It's just an earlier story.
Sure.
With the same guy.
Yeah. Yep.
And Short Round.
Right. Now, my understanding too was The Last Crusade was supposed to be a prequel to Temple of Doom.
Well, part of it was.
Part of it was, yeah. But the whole structure, they'd set the trilogy up that the whole thing was going to be backwards.
Huh.
And, you know, I mean, if you look at the structure of those three movies, The Last Crusade, you know, starts off showing him as a kid. He's with his dad to make him seem like a kid. The right. Lady's with is older, you know. He's going through the thing at the end, you know, trying to figure out how to step, you know, where to step and how to be careful and how to, you know, he's very meticulous. Where by the time you get to Raiders of the Lost Ark, he's doing stuff there, watch the light, you know, he knows what he's doing.
Right.
He also, Raiders of the Lost Ark is the only one where he actually gets the thing he's going after.
Hmm.
And at the end of, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, he's with a younger girl instead. They play up that he's older. And when he goes out to the sub, he loses his hat.
Huh.
At the end, he has a different hat. His hat is gone. So, it was set up to be that the end. And then, you know, work backwards. But I think there was something about... I think it was Harrison Ford was just nervous about trying to play somebody.
Well, that's the issue when you try to do those movies like that. Your actor isn't getting any younger as you do it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. That's the challenge.
If they really wanted a challenge, they should have done that Crystal Skull one as a prequel.
Ooh, that would have been challenging. Yes.
Yes. a challenge for the makeup department, certainly.
True.
Yeah. It would have been interesting to see them try.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't argue with that.
Yeah. And in some ways, I guess it wouldn't have gone over much worse.
No.
Although, it was fun. You got to give it that much.
I liked it for what it was
yeah.
worth. You know, I agree that it wasn't the best Indiana Jones movie.
No.
But it was better than a lot of movies throughout that
yeah.
year.
Better than a lot of stuff that's out there.
Yep.
Are they supposed to be doing another one of those next?
I saw something about that today, too. Nothing definite, just I think it was Frank Marshall or somebody was saying that it's not going to be about the Bermuda Triangle.
Huh.
So that, I guess, says they're working on something, and we know one thing it's not.
Well, that's a start.
True.
Hey, I bet it's also not about the Carbondale UFO.
Probably not.
So there we go. There's two things it's not about.
But yeah, you know, there's another, you know, kind of iconic hero that you got to wonder if, you know, maybe not in Harrison Ford's lifetime, but are they going to reboot Indiana Jones someday?
Right.
You know?
Hey, well, that's one where you don't have to remake Raiders of the Lost Ark. You just, you know, do another movie with the same character.
Exactly. Exactly right, yeah.
He could become one of those Buck Rogers, Sherlock Holmes, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Why not?
I...
As long as... Well, I guess the issue is they'd have to have someone who works well enough so people don't complain that he's not Harrison Ford.
You know, you're going to get that.
Yeah.
You know, just like when, you know, Roger Moore took over, you know, James Bond from Sean Connery. You're
right.
Going to have the, you know... You're going to have the people saying, nah, he's not as good as the first guy. You're going to have other people that are going to say, oh, I like him better, you know?
Right. Well, yeah, that's true. With Bond, you could find, you know, someone's got any one of them as their favorite.
Sure.
Including George Lazenby.
You know?
Who was actually my favorite.
He is much better than people give him credit for.
Definitely.
I agree.
Yeah. But, I mean... Same kind of thing. It's like taking over for Sean Connery, and people don't like it.
Sure.
So if they do that Zardoz remake with Daniel Craig, he better watch out.
It's true. That's true. I definitely don't, you know, I wouldn't even bother doing it with George Lazenby, because that's just...
Yeah, not at this point.
Not at this point, definitely. Yeah.
What's Roger Moore up to these days?
No. Zardoz in a tuxedo. No.
Yeah. Yeah, we could do this with all the Bond actors. How about Timothy Dalton? Never mind.
That I can see.
Why not?
Yeah.
Just get right on it.
Yeah, who didn't make that pitch to?
Send them the script. There's a crossover you could do. He's been in Doctor Who.
Timothy Dalton? Yes.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
So, you can make the case that you know, the Time Lord Rassilon is really James Bond.
Aha.
Now, there's a crossover. Never mind. Another crossover that shouldn't happen.
You know, I think the sci-fi version of the Kevin Bacon five degrees Kevin Bacon thing might all come back to Doctor Who.
It seems like it.
You know?
Or you know, you've also got the game of everyone has been in Star Trek.
True. That's true. Yeah.
How about Mick Fleetwood? Yep, he's been in.
Yep.
Andy Dick? Yep, we got Andy Dick.
Yeah.
Keep this up all day.
That's scary, yes.
And we could play the Podwarp Checks Wikipedia bingo square, and we could keep this up all day, but, you know.
Ooh.
And people hit the stop button in 4.
Yeah.
So I think kind of the thing you were saying about the Indiana Jones movies and their plans for that and how stuff didn't work out. You've got that kind of issue with sequels in general, where, you know, people sometimes aren't available for one reason or another.
Oh, sure.
So, you know, you've got, you know, the unfortunate, you know, people unavailable, and so you've got kill the character off or send them away or put them on an island or
right. They're
they're unavailable or they just don't work with your idea for the sequel, but you got to explain them somehow and
they
don't always do such a great job of that.
I think we mentioned the Avengers with Natalie Portman.
Right. On an island.
Comet.
Yeah.
here's a shot of her from the first movie. There we go. All right.
Yeah.
But
or here's a sort of science fiction one. How about Short Circuit 2?
Oh.
When you consider, where did the robot end up at the end of the first movie, and why does he show up in a packing crate at the beginning of the second one? With the we don't want him anymore sort of explanation. All right, it wasn't quite that like that. But,
yeah.
It's like, here you go. You have him for a while.
Yep. Well, because
only Fisher Stevens is coming back for the sequel.
True. That's.
But on the other hand, they did bring in Michael McKean, so you can't complain too much.
That's not bad.
Right.
Yeah. That's a decent trade. But
yeah.
But yeah, you run into that. With different people playing the same characters, too.
Right.
Get that sometimes.
Yeah, look at going from Star Trek 2 to Star Trek 3.
Yes.
Kind of an obvious example with the recasting of Savick there.
Yep. But, it's just one of those things that sometimes happens.
Yep. And then sometimes the question is, do you bother explaining it? Or do you just go with it?
Well, that's kind of an interesting thing too. With prequels, you almost have to recast,
right?
If you're going to be showing them significantly younger,
right?
Men in Black 3 just did that with what's his name playing Tommy Lee Jones?
Right, is it Josh Brolin?
Josh Brolin, yes.
Right.
Yes.
From what I've read, seems to be an example of one that got it right.
Yeah.
They were saying that's the best thing about the movie.
Yes. I haven't seen it either, but it sounds promising.
Where you actually had some of that in the Austin Powers movies, didn't you?
Did they do any actual recasting, though?
Well, just anyway. I think there was.
Yes. Robert Wagner.
Right.
Was played by the young number one. Or number two, wasn't it?
Right. Rob Lowe?
Rob Lowe, yes. Right. Yep. So, which made sense. That worked.
I knew we'd get there, and I totally did not check Wikipedia.
No.
This isn't a video podcast, so you can't prove I did.
Exactly. I'm trying to think of what other points we hit on last time.
I guess part of it was the awkwardness in some ways of some prequels where where it's going to go because it has to get there.
Exactly. That's,
Obviously Anakin Skywalker is going to become Darth Vader.
True.
And we have some idea of how it's going to happen.
Yes. Yeah. And that's something I think, I think the Star Wars prequels might have been a little bit more interesting if you didn't know that.
Right.
That would have added something, but, I'd always said, if I had some kid who'd never seen Star Wars, I would show them 4 and 5 and then let them watch the prequels before they ever saw Return of the Jedi. So that there's question, what did happen?
I suppose, if he's thinking, with a new audience in mind,
mm-hmm.
which maybe is how he was thinking, and he's planning for people who have no knowledge of 4, 5, and 6
right.
to start with 1.
Yes.
Maybe it works.
I think that is exactly his plan. That was exactly what his goal was.
Right.
Um,
So, you know, maybe in time, people will like it that way.
You know, and you hear such a, you know, so much, you know, bad-mouthing of the trilogy, but you know every Star Wars fan has all six movies.
Well, of course, yeah.
You know, they have, you know, they've been watched. People, you refer to, you know, Jar Jar Binks, everybody knows who it is. Everybody, you know, you say General Grievous, everybody knows who that is. So that, mm-hmm. they stuck around through the third movie.
Right.
You know, so, and again, compared to a lot of the stuff that's out there, Lost in Space.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's they're solid movies. They're more solid than people give them credit for. Yeah. They're not as good as the original trilogy, but they're in that universe.
Right. Well, there's on our crossovers that shouldn't happen idea. How about Revenge of the Smith?
Ooh. I like it.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you got to talk bad Star Wars crossovers. There's the old Christmas special.
Oh, yes, well.
Yeah. Of course, does anybody really talk about that?
Yeah. So what happens when you cross over Star Wars with a Jefferson Starship video and...
Yep.
Yeah.
That is true.
That didn't do them any favors either. That song was not a big hit.
No.
Light the Sky on Fire.
Yeah. Google it, kids.
Google it, yes.
But,
Or don't.
No. But you know, it is kind of interesting, you know, the fascination, I think, with crossovers. You know, you almost always hear, like, some sort of variation of the who would win in a fight, the Star Destroyer or the Enterprise.
The Enterprise,
you know?
Right.
And, you know, even the crossover, you know, the Avengers, you know, is basically a crossover concept. But it's interesting how it almost always seems like you want to start off a crossover with a fight.
Right.
You know, they can never get along at first.
Well, what fun would that be? There has to be some tension somewhere, right?
Well, sure.
Hey, you've got your heroes meeting up with your heroes, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. But, But yeah, there does seem to be this craving of seeing things come together and fight.
Right. I'm going back to the crossovers that should never happen topic in my head here.
Yeah.
Who would win in a fight, Darth Maul or Tweaky? That would be fun to see.
They could.
Yeah, I think I see the point now. You know, that you got to start off with a fight like that.
Get to, you know, Wrath of the Titans with Sigmund the Sea Monster. Said release the Kraken. What's this?
Who would win in the fight, the Star Destroyer or Boxy?
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
A Boxy and Tweaky might be.
Yeah, there you go. So, there's a crossover that has to happen. We want to see Boxy and Tweaky fight.
Yes.
And Dr. Theopolis has to stay out of it.
He could be in the, you know, the manager of the ringside, you know.
Yeah. And Muffet the Dagger can be on the other side.
And Tweaky kind of come out, you know, kind of a Rocky scene. Cut me, Doctor. Cut me.
I think we've gone off on more of a tangent this time.
That's a pretty decent tangent. I have no idea where we started off on this time around.
We certainly didn't do this the last time.
No, we didn't.
Or in the words of George Lazenby, this never happened to the other fellow.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, for better or worse, I don't know. It's different, we just can't express it enough that last time was this golden, you know, we actually did have discuss a cure for cancer. That was in there. We had some winning lottery numbers that we revealed, but, alas, it didn't record. So,
unfortunately, this episode is the reboot.
Yes, it is.
But they didn't recast it.
No, they didn't. I'm glad for that.
Yeah.
We should have got somebody to play Ben. That would have been interesting. You know, just kind of a one shot. You know, come in, but. You know, just like Lazenby, just have somebody come in for like the one episode.
Yeah.
And then, you know, everyone will appreciate Ben.
That's right.
Comes back,
someone, you know, come in, say he's Ben. We'll see if anyone notices. The question is, do you have someone, you know, fake their accent, or do you just do a completely different accent with no explanation?
Ooh, so that could be interesting, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll have to get some feedback on that.
Yes. Just completely...
Send us your thoughts, you know, comment on the blog, you know, post on the forum, send us email.
Yes. Who would you recast Podwarp 99 with? 1999 with?
Yeah. Aren't they also supposed to be rebooting Space 1999?
Are they really?
That's what I heard.
I think I did hear that. You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of 1999. Huh?
That's true. Yeah, I heard about that. That and UFO.
Ah.
At one point they were talking about redoing UFO with the guy from Fringe, Peter from Fringe.
Okay.
I don't know if he was going to get that funny haircut, but that could be interesting.
There is Space 2099.
Oh, yeah?
Which...
Yeah, I guess if you're going to redo it, you have to go to the future.
Oh, we didn't.
Oh, good point.
I don't think there's an official one, though. I'm not sure if there isn't. I thought I remember hearing something about one, though.
I had thought I saw one, and of course it was an early... stage, but it actually had a picture of a crashed eagle.
Oh, here it is. Yes, there is a Space 2099 project, which is sort of like a fan project, kind of like some of the Star Trek fan series that are going on.
Huh.
But then there's also an official one, supposedly, you know, where, you know, rights are acquired and that sort of thing, which is also... supposedly called Space 2099.
Okay.
I guess it was kind of an obvious title.
Well, yeah. I guess that makes sense.
Yep.
Hmm.
But no, I hadn't heard about a UFO reboot. That could be interesting.
Yeah, that could be fun. I was a big fan of UFO, I thought.
They have to keep the purple wigs, though.
Absolutely. Absolutely, that was the best part.
Yeah, it can't be UFO without them.
But only when they were on the moon.
Right.
They only had the wigs on the moon.
Yeah.
But they had. I don't remember any plot lines of any of those episodes, but they had the greatest toys.
Yes. Well, you had all the different, you know, on land and the sea, and of course in space.
Yep.
You know, all sorts of fun stuff.
True. Oh, yeah.
Now, there's, on the subject of sequels, of course, what was supposed to be the second season wound up becoming Space 1999 instead.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. I don't know if they ever connected anything officially, but I guess that is what happened.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. They were definitely, again, part of the same world.
Yeah. What year was UFO supposed to be in? 1980 or something like that?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, 1980, and then, of course, 1999 was a little bit further in the future.
That's right. Now they have a moon base.
That weird, far-off future of 1980.
Mm-hmm. Well, they weren't going real far, were they?
No, not really.
Yeah, that's...
But considering,
well, you know. And of course we are not checking Wikipedia, we know this off the top of our head, considering it aired in 1970.
True. Yeah.
That's kind of optimistic in some ways.
Yeah, in hindsight, yes.
Look at all this cool stuff we're going to develop in the next 10 years.
The positive side of that approach to sci-fi, though, is you don't have to go too far with, like sets and props and stuff, because things are still
right
fairly similar. You know, you
that's
put
true.
Covers over the wheel, so it looks like your car looks futuristic, and you have the not too distant future. You don't have to worry about flying cars or anything,
right?
Because obviously we have those now, and
I guess in some ways you can do a pretty convincing fake future like that when it doesn't have to be too far off.
Right.
This isn't science fiction related exactly, but it kind of sort of ties in. I was reading about a baseball team kind of doing a fake past. You know how the teams do their retro night, their turn back the clock nights, where they wear their older uniforms, things like that?
Yeah.
Well, I was reading today that for one of those turn back the clock days, the Tampa Bay Rays are going to wear their 1979 uniforms.
Okay.
Which, is an interesting trick.
That is. I like that.
But, I guess, they have a pretty good idea what baseball uniforms looked like in 1979. So.
Why not?
Just because the team didn't exist at the time, if they did, here's what it would have looked like.
That's a neat gimmick. That's kind of science fiction-y, too.
Alternate past.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So does that count as a baseball team doing a prequel?
Sure.
I think so.
Yeah. That's excellent.
Yeah. It wasn't a very good season for them, though, of course.
Well, no.
I don't think they won a single game that year.
Well, that's probably why you didn't hear of them back
then.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So there's a tangent that almost ties in.
It does. Yeah. It does tie. I'd say, sure.
Science fiction baseball.
So, well, you know what? I think we've pretty much covered everything we covered in the last episode.
We have.
So,
Oh, and that little beep there, you didn't miss anything there, folks.
No, I think I accidentally said a bad word or something, so that's...
Nothing happened there. No.
No. Pay no attention.
No, we swear.
Yeah, that's what got us into this trouble, isn't it?
That's right.
So, I think that we pretty well wrap things up here. I think so.
There could be another episode, but of course, like we said, we promise nothing.
We don't.
There probably will be. So, you could send us some feedback before that. Comment on the blog at podwarp.quarkcomics.com. Comment on the forum at forum.comicostrich.com or email us at podwarp1999@comicostrich.com.
I'm sensing a theme.
Yes.
So, let us know about your crossover ideas or reboot suggestions. I just turned Canadian there. Reboot?
Tell us about your...
Yes.
Boot your reboot.
Yeah. Casting ideas. Who would you cast in some classic sci-fi reboots?
Who would you cast as Jar Jar Binks when they redo Star Wars?
Yes.
Oh, there we go. Jar Jar Bieber.
You know?
Got to make sure he's unavailable for that Luke role or the Anakin role, so you got to tie him up with something else.
There you go. Yeah. That's a good plan. And on that note... this has been episode 36. This time we promise nothing. Until next time, keep that sci-fi thing going. We need a good outro. Keep sci-fi-ing.
There we go. Good night.
All right. Good night.
And this time it recorded.
Excellent.
The intro and outro music is Earth's Assault on the Central AI by Tetix from the album Technology Crisis. A link to Tetix's website is available on the Podwarp 1999 website.